Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. If you are here in person, thank you so much. If you're watching us online, thank you so much for worshiping with us. I'm so excited to be here this morning sharing God's word with you. You know, this is the third time that I'm preaching exactly at the same season, same day, you know, before New Year's. And third time is a charm, right? So I hope we are going to be able to study a little bit of God's word today. You know, the good thing about preaching once a year is that I have a lot of time to be thinking what my next sermon are going to be, which scripture I'm going to use, you know, what kind of illustrations are going to fit to my sermon, and also what kind of things I'm going to share about my wife. You know, to be honest with you, I've been thinking about this sermon from the day after I preached last time. Yes, a year. So, of course, the thing that I'm going to share with you today keeps stuck in my mind, and that's the reason why I end up sharing something with my wife, someone from the staff. And this year, both of them recommended me two things. They said, Arthur, these are the two things you cannot do. They need to use the hand motion so I can understand, you know. First one is, don't tell jokes. That's a sermon. And you need to take it seriously. Second, don't share anything about your personal life, especially when it involves your wife. I asked also for include closed captions on my sermon, but they said no, but I'm keeping it short. So, that's impossible. That's not who I am. You know, it's hard to do something that is denying my core, that is denying who I am, my identity, even when it involves to sleep on the couch for a few weeks after this year. So today, I would like to explore with you a scripture that comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And if you remember, last year, my sermon was based on 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. So I thought, man, this is my first sermon series. Right? But you know, Larry assured me that it doesn't work that way. He said, you know, Arthur, to be preaching a sermon series, you need to preach more often, not just once a year. But even with that, I told my mom that this is my sermon series. Hi, Mom. I know you're watching. So that's exactly where I would like to spend some time with you today, on the second message of my sermon series on 1 Peter. So, with the new year on the horizon, I would like to have this conversation with you about your identity. Whenever you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, you receive a new identity. You are now part of something bigger, you know? But what does it mean? In which ways your identity defines who you are and how it should impact the way that you live? So if you're visiting us today, I'm so excited that you are here. In fact, I think this is going to be really interesting for you. But I think the question to be answered is, who are you? Yeah, who are you? You know, I'm Arthur, pastor, husband, father of two beautiful girls. Oh, that's the time where you say, oh. But that's not what I'm talking about here, you know? I mean, who are you? Deep inside, in your core, the way that you respond to the world around you, who are you? Who is Arthur? Who is John? Who is Amy? So, over this season, it is so hard to recognize people under these face masks here, right? Would you agree? It is so hard. You know, once in a while, I'm at the grocery store or even at the church here, and people would come and say, hey, Arthur, how are you? And I'm like, hey, you. It's hard to figure out what is your true identity behind that sometimes. But what is your true identity? That's a good question to be asked, because the way that you answer this question will change the way that you respond to this world, to everything around you, to your friends, your co-workers, your family, everything. So Let us dive a little bit in the context of this scripture today so we can have a better understanding of what was happening when Peter decided to write this letter. So, first of all, Peter the apostle, he wrote this letter something around 62 after Christ. Not 100 years, not 200 years, but just 30 years after Jesus' resurrection. So it was really fresh. Everything was really fresh. On this letter, Peter gives instructions on holy living to those who believe in Jesus Christ and that they were going through suffering, through times of persecution. What Peter is writing here is so important and so applicable that people would share this letter with their friends, with their families, to the other churches, because Peter knew that this would be extremely useful to all of us. You know, the evidence says that the time when Peter decided to write this letter was a time of great persecution, was a time of great suffering for the believers. So, he offers a series of teachings to help people to know who they are, you know, and what should be their attitude in this world. So, these teachings are also of great value to all of us today. Or wouldn't you agree that today in this world here, it's particularly hard to live out our faith, isn't it? So, with that purpose in mind, Peter reminds us who we are, that in Christ we have a new identity. You have a new identity. Then he says in verse 9, but you, and he's addressing this statement to all of us here, to you and to me. So, but you are a chosen people. You are a chosen people, to be chosen. Isn't it something? How does it feel to be chosen? You know, if you look into the Old Testament, you see that Israel was God's chosen nation, was God's chosen people. But in Christ, we become part of all of this. And all the promises that were made once to God's chosen nation, Israel, are now becoming part of, are fulfilled in Christ to all of us. God's new holy nation. You are part of something. You are part of something. So when I was in school, I was never the best in sports. I wasn't the worst, but I wasn't among the best people playing sports. So whenever we would play soccer during the PE class, the teacher would choose, two of the best players to pick the players that would be part of their team. I was okay. So in most of the cases, I wouldn't make the team. But that's okay. That's okay, because once in a while, I would have a very good friend that was chosen to be the captain. And being a good friend, guess what he would do? I would be chosen. The other option was if I was the owner of the soccer ball. So in that case, it's just natural for me to be part of the team, right? That's my ball, so I need to play. But whenever I was chosen, whenever I was part of that team, man, what a special feeling to be part of that group of very talented boys. It would change my status, you know, to be part of something. In our case here, we are all chosen. We all made a team. You know, we are part of something here. Sometimes we're so concerned with acceptance that we suffer because of that. Let me tell you this. You don't need to be worried about that, because in Christ, you don't need to look for acceptance. God not only accepted you, but he chose you. So, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. So not only you are chosen, but now you are a royal priesthood, which means that you have direct access to our Father in heaven. You don't even need to schedule an appointment. Remember, you can come to him at any time of the day, any time of the night, and you can complain to him, you can ask something, you can thank him, or you can just listen to him. But what about holy nation? What does it mean? You know, the Greek word for holy is hagios. Hagios, which means set apart, sacred, other, different. We are called to be different. We are called to be unlike. You know, once you receive your new identity, you are immediately separated. You become now part of the team. You know, you remember that because of sin, we got separated from God. But that's not the kind of separated I'm talking to you here. You remember when your mom was cooking that delicious cake for a meeting with the ladies, and you tried to taste it with your finger, and then you're, just to make sure of the quality control of the product, but your mom slaps on your hand and said, don't touch it. It is separated. It is designated to something. It has a special purpose. That's the kind of separated that we see here. Holy, separated with a special purpose, unlike anything else. That's what your new identity tells you about who you are now. It is cool to be part and represent something, right? But speaking of representing, I love this t-shirt here. That's one of my favorites. I'm going to wear that. Be careful with my hair. So, I believe that once in a while, you will see someone at the grocery store, the street, somewhere else, wearing a t-shirt like this, a VRBC t-shirt, right? So, there's a cool side of being recognized for being part of some great, cool organization, but there is also the responsibility that of representing it. Once you wear it, it is implied that you share its mission and values. So I mean, you don't want to be seen in your neighborhood wearing a VRBC t-shirt and doing something that does not represent well your church, right? I mean, if I'm doing something that I'm not proud of and I'm wearing this t-shirt by chance, I probably have to walk in a different way. You know, I don't want to have people seeing that I'm part of VRBC. I don't want you to feel intimidated by that or anything like this, but that's a great reminder of who we are and what we believe and the way that we live. So let's keep going on verse 9 here that says, but you are chosen people, royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him. God's special possession. Here, Peter is bringing another great reminder of one of the things that make our new identity so special. You remember, I've already said several times before that because of this new identity that you have, that you received, you are now part of something. And that's one of the reasons for that, because you are God's special possession. Our lives, yours and mine, were bought with a very high price. That's why you're so special to God. You know, he gave the thing that was the most special to him in exchange for you. We were bought with the blood of Christ because he loves you, he loves us, and through his love, he allows us to be part of something here. So, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him. That you may declare the praises of him. What God has done for us cannot be contained within ourselves. It needs to be shared, you know. The purpose of redemption, of receiving a new identity, is something that makes us turn to God. It's not to our own enjoyment. It's to glorify God, the one that gave us new life. You know, that's why we sing, we worship the Lord, because we were chosen. We are his special possession. We were separated. And this whole package makes us turn to God in recognition of his love for us. And then we praise him, we thank him, and we serve him. But let me pause here for a second, because I think what's coming next is really important. So don't miss this. Stay with me. You might have experienced sometime in your life that you got confused by internal or external circumstances and you forgot your identity. That's a danger you might face, to forget your identity. You know, our identity, who we are, is one of the most important possessions we have. It's part of us. It's our reflection to this world. And without that, without your identity, we tend to get lost along the way. What I'm trying to say is this, without knowing who you are, you know, what you believe, your core, your essence, what is important to you, there is a great chance that your choices are not going to be the best ones. Your vision will be blurred by that. And believe me, it's going to be hard for you to get back on track. What happens is that this world provides everything that you need to forget who you are, your identity. It's too much stress, too much distraction. Once in a while, a little pandemic that really can make you forget what is important. Not paying attention to what is important. That's exactly what was happening here in this context of this scripture. Peter was warning Christ's followers. Guys, hey, I know the persecution. I know the suffering. You know, I've been persecuted. I've been suffering. I know that tomorrow is uncertain. You don't know what tomorrow has for you. But don't forget who you are. Don't forget who you are. This is a critical moment. And you forget your identity. Your identity in Christ, you might endanger yourself. And it might be hard for you to find your way back. So let me share something with you here. In 2005, I lost my father at the age of 61 years old. A heart attack, very suddenly. No time for goodbyes or anything like that. You know, one moment, I was talking to him over the phone. And an hour later, somebody called me, letting me know that he was taken to an ER where he passed. And, you know, my father, my hero, the one that was taking care of my family to the last day of his life, he was gone. It hit me so hard, but so hard, that for a while, I forgot who I was. I forgot my identity. You know, it was really a dark season to me. And I went to the valley that is mentioned in Psalm 23. I wish I could change that, but, you know, I just forgot that I was part of something, my identity. But God never gave up on me, as he never gives up on you either, you know. And he used my wife, he used my family, he used my church to remind me my identity, that I was part of something, you know. Once more, Jesus, our gentle shepherd, he used his staff to pull me back and remind me that I am part of his flock. I am part of something. So Peter reminds us of two things here. And the first one is that you are rescued. You are rescued. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Jesus called you out of darkness. He took you from the valley. He gave you a new life, a new identity. He brought you into his wonderful light. In this case, if it's the case that you are here today, but you have never experienced something like that, let me tell you, Jesus is calling you. Like he called me, he called several of us here. He showed us his wonderful light, and he let us be part of something, and he wants to give you that as well. He wants to give you redemption. You know, you don't need to be in this world by yourself. You can be part of something. You can join me at this community here, and maybe, just maybe, for the first time in your life, you can have the sense of being part of something, being part of a community, being part of a family, maybe with different colors, maybe different backgrounds, maybe different languages, but with the same core, with the same beliefs, with the same identity, given by the one who saves, Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, Amy said that earlier on the service, and I know this year it hasn't been easy. You know, you might have heard that 2020 might be the year to be forgotten, but I don't know. I don't know. Maybe 2020 is the year to be remembered. Yeah, 2020 is the year to be remembered. You know why? Because we went through a pandemic like never before. Several of us here, we lost jobs, we lost family, we lost friends. And it was so hard, so difficult, that for a moment, just a small moment, we thought that we wouldn't see tomorrow. But here we are, 9 months after everything started, at the dawn of a new year, and we are still here because God has been sustaining us. God has gotten us through it. He has never forsaken us. Amen? Here we are. Don't let the hardships of this world determine who you are. The labels that our society imposes on us cannot and won't determine who you are. Your past experiences, your traumas cannot and won't determine who you are. Your identity, who you are, comes from something that's way more powerful than all of this. Jesus is the one that says who you are. Jesus is the one. You might be feeling disqualified for something on your past, or maybe you are thinking, I'm not good enough. But let me tell you, that's not true. That's not true. You know, God has given you a new identity, and He has transformed you into something new. Because you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. So, well, by now I've been talking over and over about this identity thing, but what does it mean? What is the matter? The matter is that this special identity that you received makes you different because you are called. You are called. That's right. God gives you this new identity and call you to something bigger. It changes who you are, places you on a distinct level, and it can transform everything you are because everything around you because of who you are now. Peter continues saying, verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. But now. You see, Peter is all the time highlighting here the fact that once you receive your new identity, things cannot be the same. Things need to be different. There's just the before and the after. In Christ, we receive a seal, a stamp, a new identity. We were transformed into something new. You might remember one time when God changed the identity of someone in the Bible. Let's see what Genesis 17 has for us. So no longer you'll be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you. And kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Abram means exalted father, but Abraham means father of many. When God changed Abraham's identity, He completely changed the meaning and the purpose of Abraham's life. He said, from now on, Abraham, you're going to be different. Now you are part of my team, and you are going to be different. Once you were not people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you had received mercy. You know that in schools here, in elementary schools, once in a while, kids would receive some visitors at school, right? And one of these visitors is really special. It's the police officer. You know, he would come to the classroom wearing that very cool uniform, explaining their role in the community. But you know when it comes really special from a child's perspective? It's when he gives them this little shiny badge here. You know this? It's not because this is a little shiny golden badge that the police officer would stick in, on their chest. It's because of the meaning behind it. When the police officer sticks this on their chest, he's saying, hey, you and I, we can make this community a better place. You know, together, you and I, we can make this a better place to live, being good citizens. And I'm counting on you. I am counting on you. You know, you are part of something. You are part of something. You are different. Christ also placed that badge on our chest, right? As we see in 2 Corinthians 5:20, that says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. So be reminded of your identity in Christ and that you are part of something. We are transformed. We are different. We face and we deal with the things of this world in a different way. When everyone is discouraged, we are encouraged. When everybody seems desperate, we have the joy that comes from the Lord. When everybody's hopeless, we have hope. We can get sad, that's true. But even when sadness comes upon us, we have the assurance from the Lord that this is temporary and we have hope on what's coming next. Amen? We don't walk or we act in the way that the world dictates us to do. We are a different pattern. So let's conclude this conversation here. There is this story about Simon Peter, and he experienced this change of identity as well. You know, you might have heard this story several times, but I would like to share that with you. So Jesus was having this conversation with the disciples, the closest people he had, and they were over lunch or seated at the shore of the Jordan River. And then Jesus asks them this question. Hey, who do people say I am? Who do people say I am? And they said, well, you know, some people say that you are John the Baptist. Some people say that you are Jeremiah. Some would say that you are Elijah. And some say that you are just one of the prophets. But then I picture Jesus taking a deep breath. And then he asked this question, looking to their eyes. But what about you? Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? They hesitated. They were probably thinking, what in the world is the right answer? Right? I mean, we are still figuring this out, right? And Simon was there. Always Simon. I know. Always Simon. And Jesus was, hey, hold on. Hold on, Simon. Who do you say I am? And then Simon goes ahead and answers, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I bet Jesus smiled, and then he said, you're right, Simon, you're right. And blessed you are, because it was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. And from now on, you're going to be called Peter. And on you, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And things are not going to be the same. And nothing can overcome this church. Jesus is the only one that can tell you who you are, the giver of life that will determine who you are. Nothing can change that. Instagram will not determine who you are. Facebook, I'm sorry, won't determine who you are. But Jesus, just Jesus, you receive a new identity, or you received a new identity. And with that, as you go out there, you carry this new identity with you. So there is this show called The Chosen, and I love this show. I love this show. For me, it's one of the best TV shows on Jesus's life in this past few years, several years actually. If you haven't the chance to watch it, you can download the app The Chosen and watch the first season. But there is an epic scene from this show that went viral. You probably saw that before, but I would like to share that with you today. So let's watch it.
Matthew. Matthew, son of Alphaeus.
Yes.
Follow me.
Me?
Yes, you.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you doing?
You want me to join you? Keep moving, street preacher.
Do you have any idea what this guy has done? Do you even know him?
Yes. Listen, I said to you.
I don't get it.
You didn't get it when I chose you either.
But this is different. I'm not a tax collector.
Get used to different.
Get used to different. Get used to different. That's an incredible statement to me. You know, Jesus is different. He was different. And he called you to be different. Whatever you are, wherever you go, you need to be different. You know, the new identity that he gave you makes you different. A light to shine, a salt to bring flavor to a world that needs Jesus. Amen. As you leave today, you dive into this new year. And that's my second shirt. I bet you never seen a preacher wearing a t-shirt on stage. As you leave today and dive into this new year, be reminded of who you are in Christ. You are different. You are the chosen people, a royal priesthood, holy nation, God's special possession, and that you are part of something bigger. Go and make the difference out there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. We're so grateful because you gave us this new identity. Because of you, we are now part of something. We are now part of something bigger. We are your special possession. So thank you so much. Because we know that it required a great sacrifice. Your only son died on a cross to offer us that amazing thing for us. Through your death on the cross, Jesus, you allowed us to be part of something bigger. And we are grateful for that. So we ask your help for this new year that is coming, 2021. That we may have the strength that we need to represent you well. To be different. You know, to love our neighbor. To pray for them. To serve them. To be a light in this community here in Coppell. And in Valley Ranch, or whatever we are. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.